Bone chilling greetings, everybody. The tunes are courtesy of my good friend, the lovely Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? Everyone knows that you couldn't buy the pain, so you took your life.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from the cities that never sleep to sleepy, cozy mountain town, from desolate desert to tropical island paradise, and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. This week's special city shoutouts go to Vilnius, Lithuania, League City, Texas, Olney, Maryland, Jaipur, India, Algonquin, Illinois, and Drammen, Norway. Last week we heard all about my grandfather's cruise, where they finally, after several days of just going in circles and rough waters, make it to Casablanca. And it was kind of neat being able to hear all about life on the ship and the poker games and the food and the fun stuff and what have you. What you're about to hear now is what he wrote during the time of the war in this blue little fragile military journal that he had bought before he went across, as he would say. Now, first of all, I have to apologize for my voice. I'm kind of losing it. Don't know what's happening. And this is somewhat of a countdown to D-Day, even making a guess of what day that will be. So very interesting stuff. Here, I continue to read more from his journals. The adventure definitely continues. Because I have, through my negligence and laziness, failed to keep this boring little tale up to date, I'm going to have to interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. And I do mean special in capital letters. The curtain is just about to drop on what is probably the biggest show ever presented in the world. And it goes without saying that there will be millions of characters involved directly in this, and many more times that indirectly involved. I probably have a very small bit part in this show, but in writing this, I'm going to take the part of a spectator and write just what I observe, which I think will be interesting. In case you are in doubt as to what this show is all about, I will mention that the long-awaited invasion of Festung Europa, that millions and millions of us have been sweating out for so many months, is just a matter of hours off, I think. This is the 28th day of May 1944, and we have left our camp, where we have been stationed for the last 3 months. I regret leaving that part of England, as I have certainly enjoyed myself, more than I ever expected. We are what is known as a marshalling area, having arrived several hours ago. There isn't a thing for us to do except sit around and wait for such time as the boats which we go on are ready for us to load. Last night, while we were still out at camp, I was awakened by some terrific explosions, which seemed to sort of shake the buildings. Soon, after the first explosions, the air raid sirens started blowing, and we knew that Jerry was over again on another nuisance raid. Usually we just sleep right through them, but we had to get up at 3:30 a.m., the time we were pulling out, so I got up and went out and watched the little show, which, like all raids, are dazzling and beautiful to watch. Grim as it may be, I guess the prettiest sight was when one of the large bombers got caught in the searchlights, and after a terrific barrage of flak and tracers, blew up and came crashing to earth in two balls of fire. Others were reported down, but that's the only one that I saw. It is now almost dark, and for the second time today, I am ready to hit the hay. Just after finishing the last paragraph, I dozed off and slept for 4 hours. I appreciate that nap, because I certainly didn't get much sleep last night. There are thousands of men in this huge city of tents. Men from many different outfits getting ready for the little cruise we are all about to take. There are 6 or 7 big kitchens that really put out good chow, which I'm sure is appreciated by all, as the chow the last few months has been anything but good. There is one bad thing about the chow situation, though, and that is you have to sweat out a line with maybe 1,000 guys in it before being served. In our immediate vicinity, they have 2 large tents where they show surprisingly recent movies. This afternoon, I saw The Adventures of Mark Twain. Just up from our tent is a large building which has about 20 showers in it, and next to it is a building with a lot of books, magazines, and a radio. All in all, it's a pretty cozy place, and if a guy weren't penned up like a prisoner, I wouldn't mind putting a little time here. The boys around here are all wondering when that long-awaited day, D-Day, will be. Just as a guess, I think it will be 1 week from today, Sunday, 4th of June. And just on a side note, he wrote that May 28th, saying the day would be the 4th of June, and we know it wasn't that day, but what's interesting is that today, as I record this, is Wednesday, the 4th of June. I didn't plan that, I swear, but pretty cool. Monday, May 29th, 1944. Today has been a lazy one. Got lots of sleep last night. Took a shower and saw a show this afternoon. Sat around and read and shot the bull the rest of the time. A couple of good card games going all day, but I haven't sat in as, right now, I'm not holding too good. The day before we came to this area, we were paid to partial pay $4 per man. Today, my dear readers, that is $79. I lost mine in one roll. Incidentally, we were paid in francs. I wonder, could we be going to France?
Oui, oui.
Tuesday, May 30th, 1944. Same old drag, lots of sleep, some reading, a show, played my friend Sensky some ping pong. Yeah, and I borrowed $5 from my friend Potter. Today, that's $99. And lost that in about 2 minutes in the sociable blackjack game. Wish to heavens they would hurry up and start this thing. Today they issued each man a life belt that will be taken on the boat. We also were issued a carton of cigarettes apiece. Rumor has it that Rome fell. I hope so, but it seems hardly possible. I got 3 letters today, one from Mom, God bless her, one from Sandy, and one from an old flame who got me crossed up with one of her many suitors and had it addressed to the South Pacific Theater. Been to lots of different theaters, but not to that one. Yet. However, they're probably booking reservations for us for that theater as soon as this performance terminates. I wonder how one goes about getting a ticket for that theater called USA and that little side theater called Colorado. That's the one I'm really sweating out. Today, when shaving, I left a smudge of fuzz on my chin and upper lip. Kinda reminds me of the good old Black Diamond Jubilee days at home, which used to be held about this time of the year. Wednesday, May 31st, 1944. Well, we finally left our little haven of rest, and right now I'm reclining on the lower bunk in a room with some 20 bunks on an LST anchored here in the harbor. This is a familiar boat, as we used it just a few weeks before on a pre-invasion problem, which we thought then was the real thing, but turned out to be a dry run. I suppose this also could be a dry run. We've had so many. But somehow or other, this, we are all sure, is the real McCoy. I want to mention the name of this harbor right now, but I can't help but mention what an awe-inspiring sight this bedlam of so many different types of craft, which are jam-packed around here as far as the eye could see, not to mention those that the eye could not see. The inspiration of this is that this is one of the many harbors here in England, and believe me, when that inevitable day comes, When all this in the harbors are forth on that continent across the way, I know of a certain paper banger who will wish to heavens that he would have been 4F when he first entertained ideas of embarking upon a military career. I spent most of today just sitting around and watching the different boats. The beach over across the way seems most popular. There have been a lot of people there laying around in the hot sun and taking an occasional dip. Some of the people over there are, I might say, most interesting to watch, and some of the boys have taken full advantage of the situation and have sat up on the top all day with a pair of field glasses glued to their eyes. I played Sergeant Roebuck 2 games of chess this afternoon, then sweated out a chow line which wound clear around the boat, only to get a mess kit full of slop. I came down here and ate a box of K-ration that I have been carrying. It seems to me that, at least as long as we are here in the harbor, they would serve us bread instead of the hard tack, which, believe me, really lives up to its name. I have just returned from a walk through the compartments adjoining this one. I have encountered several sailors whom I got to know on the last problem. Down in one room there is an old piano, and there is a sailor, a very nice-looking young fellow who can really play it. He is surrounded by GIs and sailors who are singing as he plays. Some of the tunes are very well sung. I guess with so many voices, there is bound to be a certain amount of harmony. I heard them sing a lot of currently popular tunes, but the ones most played and sung are the old-fashioned ones, like Missouri Waltz, Down by the Old Mill Stream, etc. The next 3 rooms, up from the one with the piano in it, having long, narrow eating tables, all of which right now are being utilized for some card games. Some are just friendly, sociable games for pastime, and others have a little, or as the case may be, a great deal of money involved. There is one big poker game which I couldn't help sweating. I'm going to try to get in on a little of that gravy. I'm going to hunt Potter down and hit the poor guy up for a few more bucks. What the hell? I'd just as soon beat him out of $50, $990 today, as $10. $198 today. Thursday, June 1st, 1944. A new month begins, and this month, without a doubt, will probably go down in history as one most memorable. I started it out by sitting up all night, having, as you might guess, sat in the game that I mentioned last night. Phew! What a game! I suppose we would still be cutting each other's throats if they hadn't have come in at 6:15 this morning and informed us that, if we wouldn't mind, they would like to serve some breakfast on the table. So, we put the cards up, got out mess kits, ate breakfast, and went to bed. Incidentally, I did very well in the game. I paid Potter what I had borrowed earlier. I lent out a little, and have 7,500 francs, $150, it's $2,972 today, in my pockets. I slept till about 4 this afternoon, then went up on top deck and shot the bull a little, and watched the sights at the beach. Today at 5 o'clock, a chaplain came aboard and said Mass. It was really swell to have had the chance to go to Mass. The chaplain said he will be here again Sunday, if we're still here. The chow tonight was still lousy. Right now, I would give $1,000, today that's close to $20,000, to be sitting home at Mom's table eating some of her second-to-none specialties. How well I remember the hundreds of times that Mom would insist, "Come on, Gerald, have another piece of steak," or, "I wish you'd try some of this pie." Tuh, boy, what a sap I was. I just returned from a stroll through the compartments, and the same stuff goes on as last night. Lots of games and lots of singing. You'd think the guys are going on a moonlight hayride instead of this little visit to Europe. The same guys are sitting in that poker game, and before the night is over, I'll probably have my bankroll either inflated or deflated. Friday, Friday, June 2nd, 1944. Say, that's a pretty good game, that poker game, and profitable too. I now have slightly over 15,000 francs and 8 pounds of English money, and a good old U.S. $10 bill, $198 today. Sometime during the night, our boat pulled way out into the harbor, and now I suppose we are all loaded for bear and just waiting around ready to take off. Now that we are way out here, we can see a lot of larger ships that we didn't see while we were right in the harbor. Battleships, cruisers, destroyers. Just a short way across from us sits a large old French battleship, which rumor says is destined to play a very important part in the forthcoming operations. The ship is so old and worn that it no longer has its motors or engines. But the guns are in good shape, and you can rest assured that as long as she can, that gallant old baby is really going to give her paper hanger a lot of misery. She is being towed by two small U.S. tugboats that seem to be dwarfed to an almost nothing less sitting next to the big old girl. In the years to come, we will probably hear a lot about that war wagon, and she'll likely go down in the books as one of France's real heroines. And those two little insignificant tugs should be right up on top of the list when they are passing out the glory and medals. We finally got a decent meal this evening. They served us some canned boneless chicken, which tasted plenty okay, but still the same hardtack. Last night after the game, I went up in the galley to get a cup of coffee. I got to talking to the cook, and after a while, he went over to an oven and pulled out a tray full of fluffy white rolls. Mmm! He buttered a bunch of them and said,
"Dig in!"
I can't ever remember eating anything in my life that I enjoyed more. They were delicious! I was told that they were being baked for the officers. Pretty tough on these officers sometimes. I can hear the fellows back there singing all the way up here. Guess I'll go back and see what gives. Saturday, June 3rd, 1944. The water last night got pretty choppy out here, and the boat felt like a roller coaster at times. I sat in the game and was doing all right till one stud hand, when I had three sixes back to back, and I tried to run out a guy who had two aces, but made three on the last card. He really hit me a lick, but in the end, I only came out $40 loser. Today, that's 792 big ones. Well, today we were briefed and we were told where we were going, what we are going to do, and what is expected of us. We know for sure now that this is the real thing. We are to make a beach landing on a beach somewhere between Le Havre and Cherbourg in France. Sounds quite interesting, doesn't it? That remains to be seen. At any rate, I'm damn glad that they are finally getting this job underway. I think that most of us are just about ready to go nuts just laying around and doing the unorthodox things that can be found only in the army. It will be a great day indeed when this whole lousy mess is over and the fellows can go back home and live like humans once again. I played Roebuck some more chess today. Sounds like my D-Day guess, Sunday, was wrong, as we are still out here near the harbor. However, rumor has it that we are pulling out at 2:30 in the morning, and, after all, it's just a matter of a few miles across the channel. The boys on the ship tonight seem just a little bit tense, and for good reason, too. If everything that we have been reading about Hitler's Fortress Europe is true, chances are that we will run into a scorpion's nest, the likes of which we have never seen. There's no doubt in my mind that it's going to be plenty rough, and I pray and trust in God that everything will come out all right for us all. In spite of everything, though, there's still a lot of gaiety and merriment in the room with the piano that's good, because that singing helps a lot. Sunday, June 4th, 1944. We did pull out at 2:30 this morning, sailed out in the channel, but for some reason or other, we returned and dropped anchor about 8:30 until about 5 this evening, when we pulled anchor and set out again. We are quite a way out now, and we can catch only an occasional glimpse of land that is England through the haze. It's hard to describe the sight of this as I sit on a half track up here on the top deck. As far as the eye can see in any direction, there are ships. This reminds me of the day we went in Sicily, but of course, as large as that seemed, that day in Sicily, this operation dwarfs that into obscurity. I hope that this runs off just as smoothly. Formations of Allied fighter planes have been soaring overhead almost constantly, which, believe me, really makes a guy feel a lot more secure. We all remember when Hitler first started his conquest of the lands, how he had the very best air force in the world. Those were the days of the deadly, mighty Luftwaffe. Now, though, thank God and America, conditions are a lot different. Our air force is a lot bigger, a lot faster, and a lot better, and has been making monkeys out of some of the Luftwaffe for some time. The planes above are flying very low, as the sky is full of clouds. There is a stiff breeze blowing, which makes it uncomfortably cool up here on deck. We are completely out of sight of land now, and every second brings us closer to that beach and France. I'm getting so cold up here that I'm going to hightail it down below, but quick. Back on my bunk now again, and there's not much else to write except that I just heard that we are going to land early Tuesday morning. Monday, June 5th, 1944. Sat in the game last night, and again, lost. This time, $50. Today, that's $990. It's a darn good thing we are getting off this tub pretty soon, because a few more of these wild poker games, and I'd be getting off just like I got on. Broke. After the game, I went up to the galley again to see my good friend the cook, and once again enjoyed some very delicious hot rolls. I took out a pound note and offered it to him, but he wouldn't take it. I lied to him and told him that it was no good to me anymore, and that inasmuch as he was going back to England, he could make good use of it. Frankly, I wouldn't mind having a big sack full of those pound notes. So, with that, he took it, and in return told me to help myself and take all that I wanted. My friend Joyce, from Chicago, was waiting for me down below, so I got 2 cups of coffee and about 14 rolls. I certainly hope I didn't run some officer short. I went down, and Joyce and I drank and ate and talked till almost breakfast time. Needless to say that after eating my share of all those rolls, my stomach felt just slightly heavy. I slept until 7 o'clock tonight, and right now I am up on deck with one hell of a headache. If this boat rocks any harder, my ailments will consist of more than just a headache. I remember how deathly seasick I was when we made the invasion of Sicily. Heaven knows that invasions are plenty bad enough without being seasick too. So I hope the old stomach settles a little. It's still awful cold, and most of the boys out here on deck are wrapped up in a warm woolen blanket, sitting Indian style. I am down on my bunk now, and I just learned that we were supposed to have hit the beaches this morning, but because of very choppy waters, D-Day was postponed 24 hours, and that, weather permitting, we strike tomorrow morning. The first wave hitting at H hour, which will be at 6:30. The group I am in is scheduled to hit at H plus 3 hours. I wonder how the folks at home are going to take this. I've read where there will be sirens, bells, prayers, and everything. Sometimes I wonder why it has taken so long for this assault on Europe. This is the deal that people have been talking about for over 3 years. In my own feeble mind, I have thought that this should have taken place at least a year ago. But, of course, I don't suppose I can begin to visualize what a vast job invasion of this type are. I've made my usual rounds through the boat, and the atmosphere is completely different tonight than it's been since we first loaded on. The room with the piano is practically empty, and the piano is noticeably silent, and there has been no singing. I haven't seen a single card game. Instead, In those rooms, those boys are all sitting around just talking about home. The folks, the wife, the girlfriend, just anything to help pass the hours, which now seem like years. There is a turmoil in the bunk compartments as the boys are typing up their packs, adjusting their harnesses, and packing their field bags. Some who have already done that are cleaning rifles and automatics. I noticed one lanky, dark infantryman, deeply absorbed in a small pocket Bible. And in another room, I saw another infantry boy who just seemed to stare straight ahead, not as though he were in a narrow, crowded room where one had to hang on or else the rocking ship would throw him off balance, but as though he were in a quiet, peaceful chapel back home, talking with God. He was perfectly motionless, his only movement being his lips and a rosary passing through his fingers. You know, that's not such a bad idea. I think I'll try a little of that myself. Those two are guys who, last night, were singing their lungs out. Tonight, their thoughts are with God. Tomorrow night, they will probably be fighting like hell. Tomorrow, of course, would be D-Day. Many people would lose their lives. Some would walk away. It's a day that is remembered so many years later. I'm glad my grandpa was one of the ones who walked away. Again, this is something that stayed with him till his dying day, never straying too far. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to fret. Lose sleep. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Blueberry, CastBox. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Brothers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everybody, and we will see you next week.